the revelation of the book Revelation, part 26. I'm Professor Hannes Rettinghuis of the First Assembly of Jehovah's Witnesses, South Africa, Pretoria, Montana. Should you require any of the books that I've written, or maybe the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rotterdam version, the one that's banned in the world from 2005, please contact us at WhatsApp 0722-367-124, and that's on plus 27 international code. Or just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. This is the first time that you will participate in our study. I urge you to please go to part one, because you have missed quite a bit of information. As a newcomer, you're very welcome. Enjoy the studies. But you need to subscribe so that in order to receive all the different notifications. It's free of charge. And also share it with your friends and family. Make sure that you have a 1611 King James Bible ready, a pen and paper. Very important to note that we not associate ourselves with the following people or churches: any Messianic group, Israel Vision group, the Hebrew Roots movement, the Sacred Name movement, the Yah movement. We are not part of Jehovah's Witnesses or the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are not affiliated to any church denomination, group or organization in the world. Please listen to what I'm saying. We are not affiliated to any church denomination, group or church in the world. Instead, we are only an end-time Bible study group functioning throughout the world. Hallelujah. We are mainly using as a Yafis group. We're using the ancient Hebrew Sacred Name Bible according to the 1860 restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, translated by Dr. Joseph Brian Rotterdam, which is one of the oldest English/Hebrew Bibles you will find to lay your hands on. I have a couple available. Should you be interested, just contact us. This is not the 1902 corrupted emphasis Bible. According to the 1860 restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the name Jesus was originally Yahushua. It was never Jesus. It was not the letter J. The name God was originally Elohim Hashem, not Adonai. Adonai means Sun God. Adonai. Elohim or Hashem. Adonai means Sun God, which refers to Theos or Kyrios. The name Lord was originally Yaffa. The name of the Holy Spirit was originally Ruach HaKodesh. We refer to ourselves as Yafis, according to 1 Peter 4 verse 16. We are not even Protestants, because Protestants is part of the Roman Catholic system. As the disciples of Yahushua did 2,000 years ago, and also the followers, they were called Yafists. In this trust of this study, it will be a blessing to you in the name of Yahushua, the name above every other name. Hallelujah. We will continue where we left off last week. While we continue with the study, we shall find that at this stage, nothing is said about the Ark of the Covenant. The moment that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, all open, nobody, not just Cephas, not one of the apostles, nobody, no other scribe, one ever mentioned anything about seeing the Ark of the Covenant. Then somebody said to me once, "Prof, but the Ark of the Covenant was too holy. That's why it was gone. Or that's why they couldn't see it. Because God," we refer to Yahweh as God, "God has blotted it out. He's closed so you can't see it. It was there, but they couldn't notice it. Impossible." What was the reason for being behind the veil? The Ark of the Covenant. Now, if the Ark of the Covenant was blotted, why would the veil be opened? You see, the Ark of the Covenant was never there for more than 500 years. The high priest was performing a ritual, an Israeli Hebrew ritual, which was never there. It was a lie. Because up till today, it's still hidden away. Somewhere under the tunnels where the rock of the dome or the dome of the rock is built. Because that's the original foundation of Solomon's temple. Nothing is said about the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy object in the temple, which was held in the temple in Jerusalem. Later in the study, this observation by myself will form part of a 600-year lie, which was never discovered. I didn't receive this in certain books or research or anything. This was something that Jaffa revealed to me. There were certain lies that was promoted for 600 years among the Protestant and Charismatic churches. And that's why I don't refer to myself as a Christian, or not even, I'm not going to even refer to myself anymore as a Protestant. I'm a Jaffist. Because a Protestant is actually a Catholic in another jacket, in another presentation. Because Protestantism was created by the Roman Catholics themselves. That's why they brought the name Jesus into it. Listen, go and have a look at this study, what is your God's name? And you will find that the name Jesus never exists. It was a pagan god that had to be exhibited and brought to the forth. And the only way they could do it was creating in 1524 the letter J, to change it from Isis to Jesus, the same pagan god, the sun god, Nimrod, Ra, Zeus, Isis, Jesus. As he brought the vessel into the treasure, now he says, and he, that's now King Nebuchadnezzar, brought the vessels into the treasure house of his god. Now look at the spelling of his god, small letter G, which is the sun god. This part of our scripture confirms that some of the holy objects which were in the temple in Jerusalem were brought into the sun god pagan's temple in Babylon and was displayed there. Not everything, some of it. Some, the most treasured object was the Ark of the Covenant. Do you think that King Nebuchadnezzar, if he had the Ark of the Covenant, he would hide it away? No, it's a trophy to them. It is something that he would have displayed so that everybody could see it. Because that was a victory for the pagan worshippers and for the pagan gods. Why does the scripture say part of the vessels of the house of Yahweh our Almighty? Why not all of the holy treasures which was in the temple in Jerusalem? Because the sons of the high priest of Israel had already hidden away the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the temple in Jerusalem for centuries. When King Nebuchadnezzar seized Jerusalem and the temple, the Ark of the Covenant was already hidden away, even until today, 2024. Nobody in the world knows where the Ark of the Covenant is. Oh, a lot of people is making certain suggestions and on the internet discovery, there's been different movies that was made to, it's here and it's there and it is on different places. It's not. Throughout many centuries, many theories existed, but no one of them was delivered, but no one of them could deliver the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy treasure for the nation of Israel. If King Nebuchadnezzar took the Ark of the Covenant, when he took the holy treasures from the temple in Jerusalem, his son Belshazzar will surely have shown it when he used the holy relics from the temple, when he and his harlot woman drank wine from the cup, and the hand of Yahweh Almighty wrote on the wall, according to Daniel 5 verse 1 to 30. You can read that for yourself. We will come there later on in our study. So what happens here? The following information in the scripture is very important to understand what is about to happen. In the following scripture, we will find that it was important for King Nebuchadnezzar to bring the best of Israel's bloodline into his palace, to train them to the benefit of his Babylonian regime. He wanted them there. He wanted the best of the best for his pagan gods. And also, you mustn't forget, that was another way of having a trophy. It's like shooting a lion. A lot of guys will come from America or Europe and come and hunt in South Africa, and they will shoot a lion and they cut the head off and they will put it on a plank and they will put it in their display, in their lounge or in their study, or to say, I've shot this lion. It's a trophy. And this Ark of the Covenant would have been a trophy of victory for King Nebuchadnezzar, but it was not there. Now, we must understand what is said in verse 3. And the king spoke unto Ashpazan, the master of the Enusha, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes. So he told the master of the princes, bring the best of the best. And the king spoke unto Alpaznas, the master of the Eunash. The instruction was given to Alpaznas too, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel to serve in the palace in Babylon, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Ashpenaz was instructed to bring children of Israel with special attributes from those king's seed and of the princes. He says in verse 4, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and full skin of all wisdom, and running in knowledge, and understanding signs, and such as he had ability to them to stand in the king's place, and whom might teach and learn, and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So, they even wanted them to be teachers, trainers, these Israelites, young men, in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar. So what do we learn? That these children were handpicked. They were handpicked. And they were more favored than all the others. Why? Because of their attributes, their skillfulness and the wisdom and the running of their knowledge. They were crafty, they calculated, smart, wise, intelligent, clever, sharp, and so we can carry on. They had different attributes. And understanding of science, the children had to have the ability to understand science, doing maths, and all of these things. And they were to serve in King Nebuchadnezzar's palace. So what did King Nebuchadnezzar, then what did he want? He wanted the best of the best to crossbreed into his cultures and to train them to become Babylonian citizens. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that the end thereof they might stand before the king. Again we see the time span of 3 years. 3 years, 3 years. Yahushua's ministry on the earth was 3 years. 2 years he just ministered to Israel. The last year of his ministry up till today, only to the Gentiles. And that's why we got saved. And today we are not Gentiles. We are not Protestants. We are not Christians. We are Yahfists. By the remission blood of Yahushua and the immersing in his name, the name of Yahushua. The king appointed a daily portion of his meat Which means that Israeli's boys, this young man, had to eat daily from the table of the king. He wanted them to eat the same meat. And that was actually a big favor. Today, a lot of people will favor to be the friends of the king or friends of the presidents and to eat from the table. But we will find that these Israelis, these young men, they refused and didn't want it. King Nebuchadnezzar would groom them, or have them groomed, for 3 years. Studying the following scripture, we find that Satan in action changing the names of the Hebrew boys. Can you? I don't want to say boys, young men. Every one of the Israelite men, names had a special meaning and purpose. You must listen to what I'm saying now. Every one of the Hebrew boys, when they were born and circumcised on the eighth day, they would receive their name. And the name they received would have a spiritual meaning, or a war, a place where war was won, or where victories was won, or special things happened. Their names were linked or was created from certain events. But the moment that these young men entered into the palace of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he would change their names. Hallelujah. He would change their names. Why? Because changing their names changed their destiny. And that's why the Roman Catholic Church changed the names, the ancient Hebrew names of Yahshua, to Jesus. First to Isis. In 2000, between 100 and 127 AD, where the four Gospels was created by the Roman Catholic Church, they changed the name of Yahshua. They changed it to Isis, I-S-I-S, Isis. For 1,500 years, the name Isis exists in the Roman Catholic Church. In the 16th century, they created the letter J to change Isis, who was the sun god, Nimrazius, Isis in Rome, in the Roman language. And they would change it, well, it was a Greek language, and then it was became Latin. They would change it to Jesus, which is a Protestant name. A Protestant name. It's a Catholic name. It's not a Protestant. A Protestant is just about the... It's a Catholic with another jacket on. Or another dress on. The theology of the Protestants is just about the same as the Catholic Church. Go read Matthew 28:19. Just look at the scripture where it says, go baptize in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name. To baptize somebody in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name of Father is not the name, it's a title. Father is a title. I'm a father. You most probably are a father. Son is a title. I'm a son. You most probably are a son. Holy Spirit is a title. It's a Ruach HaKodesh. So when he says go immerse in the name, or when he says go immerse, the original scriptures go immerse in the name. The name. Which name? Well, you can read Acts 2:36-41. Where Peter immersed people on the day of Pentecost. They immersed 3,000 people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, my friend. They immersed them in the name of Yahshua to the remission of his sins. The King James Bible says, in the name of Jesus Christ to the remission of sins. It couldn't have been Jesus Christ. Man, Peter could have never used the name Jesus Christ, because the first name Jesus was only created in the 16th century. And the name Christ, which means Christ-like. Constantine at the Council of Nicene, 327 AD, A.Y. actually created the name Christian, Christ-like, and also the cross theology. So what do I say? Peter could have never immersed the people in the name of Jesus Christ. The same as Saul, when he walked the road of Damascus, he could have never heard that the voice says, Saul, Saul, why have thou forsaken me? And he says, Jesus. He could never have named the name Jesus, because the Bible says that Yahushua spoke to him in a Hebrew name. Go read Acts 10. He spoke out of heaven in a Hebrew name, not in the English or Afrikaans or German or what you want to call it. So he couldn't use the name Jesus, because Jesus is not a Hebrew name. And Isis is not even a Hebrew name, because in that stage the name Isis haven't existed yet. You understand? So when I look at the name Jesus, it's totally a pagan name. So what is Protestantism? To be a Protestant means that I'm actually a half Catholic without even knowing it. Because 99% of the theology of the Catholics was fed into the system of Protestantism. I'm going to talk about that later on. I just want to get you to think about a couple of things. Things that was happening, and we were sitting like rabbits in a light, looking at the light. You know, if you shine a sharp light on a rabbit, he will just sit like it. You can go and pick him up and take him away. He will just sit like it. Totally confused. And this is what's happening spiritually in the last 600 years. The Roman Catholic Church has spiritually confused the whole Protestantism theology and structures. I'm going to talk. I will say a bit of this a bit more later on in the study. Studying the following scripture, you find that Satan in action changing the names of these Hebrew boys. The first thing he does, everyone of the Israelite boys' names has special meanings and purpose. Therefore, we have found throughout the centuries that different Bible translations gave other names to peoples and places which were originally in the Bible. How wonderful is that? Totally confusing. By changing biblical names brings about confusion. Where confusion is, Satan is smiling just as much. Hebrew names, point 3.4. According to the next scripture, the Hebrew children of Israel. When I say children, I'm actually meaning young men. He said verse 6, now among them were the children of, because the Bible says children, it doesn't mean small boys, they were young men. Why would I say young man? Because Daniel was one of the four of them. And he just, if he was a child, he would have refused to worship the pagan gods. He was a young man, so were Sidrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Among them were the children of Judah, Daniel, Asaniah, Michal, and Azariah. Now among them were the children. They had what names? Hebrew names. It's important to know that the origin of every name is utter importance to everybody. My personal name is the blueprint of my personality. It's who I am. If you say Prof. Hannes Reetlinghuis, immediately everybody that knows me knows I'm a full-blooded Jaffist. Full blood. Why? That's who I am. And that's why I'm preaching this gospel throughout the world. Not asking anybody forgiveness for anything, or making excuses for anything. We don't need to, if we are Yahfist. We are redeemed by the blood of Yahushua, the precious blood of Yahushua, the name above every other name. And that makes us Yahfist, because we were immersed in the name of Yahushua. My name is how other people will remember me. Most Hebrew names have their origin in history and important places and some events. Changing a person's personal name is equally to rob him or her of the origins of their roots. So what do you do if you change somebody's name? You're robbing them of their original roots. Everyone, all of these Hebrew names was of significance to them because they were Hebrew men. And even the woman had Hebrew names with a specific meaning. So a name was not just taking a name and giving a child a name. A lot of thinking went into giving a child a name. The moment that King Nebuchadnezzar changed these Hebrew names, he intended that they will become part of the Babylon idol gods worshipping. That was the reason for it all. Because he gave them Babylonian names. In the following scripture we find how these Hebrew men, their names will be changed to Babylonian names. Verse 7. And to whom the prince of the Inquish gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar. Belshazzar, not Belshazzar, because Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's son. See what they do. He gives him basically the same name as the king to be. Because Belshazzar was King Nebuchadnezzar's son. And when King Nebuchadnezzar went mad for 7 years and lived like a beast in the field, Belshazzar was the king. So what does they do? What do these Babylonian wise men do? They give Daniel basically the same name as the prince, because King Nebuchadnezzar's son was the prince to be the next king. So Daniel's name was Belshazzar, and to Ananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So they changed their names to Babylonian gods' names. This was not the last time that names in the Bible will be changed. This was not the last time that Hebrew names would be changed. When the Roman Catholics will take control of Greek manuscripts in Texas, the very first thing they would change was the Hebrew names of Miriam, Yahshua's mother. They changed her to the name Mary. See what it does? The name Mary never existed in ancient Hebrew language. Why? Because Mary is a Greek name. It never was ever a Hebrew name. The next other Hebrew names which were changed by the Roman Catholic Church in the 2nd century was an original Hebrew sacred name, which was Yod Aleph Hei Vav Aleph Hei, which is not a name, it's called the Tetragrammaton. They will do their utmost best, and that's why they will change it in the modern Hebrew. There's 258 modern Hebrew alphabets. They will create the letter W in place of the V, the Vav. Vav is the sixth letter, V. Yod, Hei, Vav. They change the Vav to a W. It's not, it's a Vav, it's a V. To the four letters were added, the Yod, Aleph, Yod, Hei, Vav, Hei, were added the A, which is Yod, Aleph, Hei, Vav, Aleph, Hei, which will become the name of Yaffa, Almighty. Yod, Aleph, Hei, Vav, Aleph, Hei, right to left. Left to right, Yaffa, the most holy name, the creator of heaven and earth. And this word Yaffa, well, you can spell it in English and Afrikaans, in German, and in some other languages, and even in Hebrew. Yod Aleph Hei Vav Aleph Hei. When you speak it, it's Yaffa. Our Elohim. Hallelujah. The latest stage, the Roman Catholic Church, between 100 and 127 AY after Yahshua, they will change the name Yaffa. They will change to Kyrios or Theos, which is linked to the sun god. In the 16th century, 13th century, it will be changed to the English word Lord and God in English. The next Hebrew name which was changed in the 2nd century by the Roman Catholic Church was the name Yahashua. Yahashua, the Father's name plus Yeshua. Shua, S-H-U-A, which means Redeemer and Savior. Nimrod throughout all the ages and history was known as the Sun God. Genesis 10, I'm just thinking of the scripture. His mother was known as Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven. The Sun God Nimrod will play an important role in all civilizations in the world, even into 2024. The Sun God in the Egyptian dispensation was known as Ra, Horus or Janus, also known as Nimrod, according to Genesis 10. The sun god in the dispensations of the Greeks was known as Zeus. For nearly 1,400 years, the sun god in the lifetime of the Romans and Roman Catholic Church was known as Isis, which was changed in the 16th century to Jesus. The Roman Catholic Church for the last, from 100 to 127 AY, used the name Isis to refer to the ancient Hebrew name Yahashua. For the next 1,400 names, the Roman Catholic Church used the name Isis to refer to the sun god Yahweh El Elohim, who died, Yahashua El Elohim, who died on the cross. During this period of 1,400 years, the name Yahashua never existed in any Greek language. The name Yahashua was only added to the Roman Catholic manuscripts, texts and Bible translations in the 16th century when they changed the name Isis to Jesus. Now yeah, we're going to stop right here. Time has run out. You must be very anxious. You must be excited. Otherwise you must be cross, annoyed. Why? Because of the lies we were fed as part of biblical theology, we was instead old Catholic, Roman Catholic theology and dogma. Till next time, if Yahweh tarries and is his will, Maranatha. Yahashua's coming back again. Hallelujah.